Hello, this is Daryl Castle with today's podcast. Today is Friday, July 17th, 2015. And on today's podcast, we're going to discuss the deal to keep Greece in the euro. What does it mean for Greece and what does it mean for the United States? Why is it important? Over the past week, Greece held an emergency summit with its creditors. After 17 hours of continuous negotiations, the two sides agreed to a deal. Greece is going to receive 86 billion euros, or about $95 billion in bailout funds. In return, Greece must transform its socialist economy. Greece agreed to cut spending, to raise taxes, and reform its pension system, as well as sell government assets to pay off some of its debt. The reopening date for Greek banks is not yet clear, and people are still able to withdraw only 60 euros, or about $66 per day. The Athens stock market remains closed. This bailout will keep Greece in the euro for a while, but it doesn't solve the real problem. The real problem is that Greece owes its European creditors over 300 billion euros it can never, ever repay. So this deal kicks the can further down the road. The estimate is that it will take 3 years for Greece to run out of money again. It's a game of musical chairs, you see. And sooner or later, someone is going to be left standing with no chair. So the idea is you just keep the music playing. As long as the music plays, there are chairs for everybody. What happened to Greece was what bankers refer to as a holiday. For the rest of us, that means banks stay closed and keep your money. We all saw pictures on TV and in newspapers of people lining up at ATMs in Greece, when they could find one operating, that is, to get their daily allotment of 60 euros. Most of us would like to see some solution for the Greek people, a solution that is not unduly difficult for them. The press tells us that, quote, something needs to be done, but no one seems to have the solution. The reason that the problem is so difficult is the reason the banks closed to begin with, and that is the money to keep them open does not exist. This is the culmination of a mindset that began many years ago. August 15th, 1971 is a good date we can pick out for when it all began. President Nixon took the United States off the gold standard. We went from a gold-based currency to a credit-based currency. Then the whole world followed suit. Gradually, the world was flooded by debt. The Fed's easy credit policies financed it all. Yes, the Federal Reserve financed the whole world's descent into financial catastrophe. Then the governments have attempted to expand their economies by encouraging debt. As President Bush told us after 9/11, quote, if you want to help your country, go shopping, end quote. As a result, governments borrowed so much money that many are now facing insolvency. So did everyone else. Personal debt has now risen to insolvency levels for many individuals. The only route we can find to education and to investment in our society is through a lifetime of student loan debt serfdom. In order for someone to borrow, there has to be someone willing to lend, and that is usually a bank. Traditionally, banks take in deposits. Then they loan out that money at interest. That is their profit. That's a workable idea in theory, but today's banks maintain about 10%, only about 10% of deposits, if that, to surface daily transactions. They loan out the rest. So long as depositors do not lose faith in the system and arrive at the bank all at once to get their money, the system works. It's a confidence game, you see. Today, however, in this digital age, the bank doesn't hand over paper when it makes a loan. It just processes a credit to the borrower's account. This allows banks to offer far more and far larger loans than ever before. For example, if a bank has $1 million in deposits, it can lend $10 million or even more. the bankers are able to increase their profits tenfold that way. Temptation and opportunity for abuse are obvious. Abuse is the norm in the world today. So we live in the greatest credit debt expansion bubble in the history of the world. Greece is a good example of the failure of this entire mindset. It's a fatal era that has dominated the world, especially the West, for a long, long time. The era is believing that policy elites can manage the social order better than the social order can manage itself. Only the ruling elite should be able to decide where and how people should live, how they should be educated, what they can buy and sell, who they should hire and fire, who they should work for and work with, what businesses should prosper, who can enter certain occupations, and the terms of entry. Government will do all of that for us and a whole lot more. It will build and maintain the housing where it tells us we have to live. It will, quote, create the jobs it tells us we have to fill. It will provide the education it tells people they have to have. It will provide all security for all of us. It will provide all of our defense. It will define justice and administer it. Loss of freedom causes certain problems, though. These problems are easily observable as this entire system starts to wind down. Social alienation, racial conflict, loss of respect for property, loss of respect for authority, for government especially, moral degeneracy, moral desperation, loss of hope, bad ideas have bad consequences, folks. Finally, folks, in Greece, there are fewer than 11 million people. If it halts its debt payments, the future of the euro and even the global economy could be uncertain. It could be that snowflake that finally triggers the avalanche. Greece is not the only nation that has gone hopelessly in debt, though. In debt by using the credit card this month to pay the minimum required on last month's credit card bill. It's a daisy chain of unpayable debt, everybody is guilty, even the United States. As I said, folks, bad ideas have bad consequences. At least that's the way I see it. Until next time, this is Darrell Castle. Thanks for listening.